This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In these days of cheap digital cameras and easy editing software, filmmakers can work in the most unlikely places. From Afghanistan to Iran to Nigeria, upstart film industries are putting stories on the screen. But still, the most improbable place to find a foreign film is your local Octoplex. Blame a fear of subtitles, blame the Hollywood distribution system, whatever the cause, foreign movies are still mostly art house and film festival fare. Slowly, though, a few are managing to sneak in around the edges to establish coveted crossover appeal and spark endless journalistic speculation about whether or not foreign films are really back. This year, the New Zealand coming-of-age picture Whale Rider is one of those pictures, and surprisingly, the violent Brazilian film City of God took 4 Oscar nominations, including Best Director and Best Screenplay. Later in this program, we'll take a look at a real-life foreign adventure that helped shape the view of slavery of President Lincoln. But first, the second in our Oscar preview series on making the movies, and we'll look at the world of foreign film. What does it take for a foreign movie to make it here? Which countries are hot? And will Americans ever be willing to read subtitles? If you like foreign movies, what do you look for, and how do you find them? If you're not so keen, why not? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. With us now from Chicago is Anthony Kaufman, a film writer for The Village Voice, Variety, and IndieWire.com. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil. Thanks.
Let's start with this year's Oscar nominees in the foreign film category, the foreign language film. Any surprises?
Many surprises, in fact. In the foreign language category, I think there are several movies that no one's even heard of. And big surprises to those in the industry who follow these films as well. The film that won the Golden Globe, for instance, Osama, which I think is just coming out in theaters now, wasn't even nominated.
You'd think that'd be the one category the Golden Globe voters would know something about.
Yeah, I guess so. Being from the Hollywood Foreign Press, exactly. But the Academy voters thought otherwise and overlooked some more high-profile films and picked some films, for instance, The Twilight Samurai from Japan, which, while successful in Japan, doesn't even have a U.S. distributor.
Are the films in this category, are they sort of, you know, beloved underdogs that are going to put on that list to challenge the system, or are they sort of, maligned outcasts?
Well, this year, I think that these are films that are largely under the radar. I don't think you're going to see any of them really breaking out, although the most successful one, shall we say, and the one that was, you know, say, tipped for to win the award, The Barbarian Invasions, Canadian film, was a big film in Cannes. Not a hit on the order of past nominees like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a film that, you know, people will like and will be helped by the award. I don't think it's necessarily an outcast. Miramax is releasing the film.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a.
And to be fair, I mean, there are a few foreign films, even ones that win, that are as successful as Crouching Tiger.
Yes, that's right. Crouching Tiger is really an exception. You have one of those every couple years. You know, Life is Beautiful, Il Pastino, Amelie, a French film. But other than that, yeah, it is still hard for these films to do, especially the kind of business that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon did.
How does this category get selected? Who picks them, and how's the vote? You know, are these films that tend to be at the beginning of their theatrical lives in this country, or at the end?
Well, it's usually beginning. It's usually, in fact, before they're even released here. It's a very weird and Byzantine voting structure.
How unlike the Oscars?
Yeah, well, it's very unique, actually, and it's not the way nominees are voted in the other categories. Because there are so many films, in fact, 55, a record number of submissions this year, it takes, you know, not one person is going to see all of those films. So they divide it up into 3 categories, 3 groupings, and you have sections divided, and then they vote, and there's an average of which film is liked the most. It's a different voting system, and the results many complain, actually give films nominations that shouldn't.
Well, in the Oscars, I mean, for example, the actors nominate the actor category, directors. Now, what is this, for foreign films? You have to be bilingual or something?
It's a committee. The committee, apparently, and I don't know, you know, specific names.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's an older committee, because who has the time to watch 25 foreign films over a two-month period at the end of the year? You know, from 9 a.m. till like 5 p.m. or something like that. And there are people who, you know, have put themselves forward to as specialists, I guess, of foreign language films.
Who gets to decide what a foreign film is? I mean, you mentioned a picture from Canada. This is the foreign language category. Presumably that picture's in French, but if it's in English, it's not eligible?
Correct. It does need to be in a foreign language. Films from Britain, which have had a percentage of English, have been deemed ineligible. So it definitely does have to be in a foreign language. Canadian films that aren't English won't be nominated. You mentioned the New Zealand film. You
mm-hmm.
know, that is an English language film. It would not be nominated for an Oscar in the Best Foreign Language category.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And Robert is on the line with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
How you doing?
Okay.
I had a two-part question. My first question is, I consider myself a fairly well-educated young man, and on the occasions that I do go to see foreign films, I lose track of everything and everything that's going on as soon as the movie starts, it seems. And I'm playing catch-up for the rest of the movie.
Can you give me an example of a recent film?
Oh, boy. I can't. I saw I actually like Asian films, Japanese films.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the last time that I went to one, but it was one of those things where we walked out of the theater and my girlfriend and I were just basically trying to figure out what we had just been through. Like, we felt sad, angry, happy all at once, and neither one of us could actually describe what the movie was about.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you busy reading the subtitles?
Reading the subtitles. And I get the gist of the movie, but it goes into my second question, that being, why are American movies so huge in foreign theaters?
Okay, get a response from Anthony Kaufman?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons is that the Hollywood industry is such a huge force, and those films are marketed on a global scale, that most domestic industries in those countries have a really hard time competing with. So, I mean, there's just a huge marketing juggernaut of money and power that makes those films such a global dominating force. And the other reason is that they are in some ways more accessible, I think you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That
to be fair, Robert, I felt the same way coming out of the last Matrix picture, and I think that was in English.
Yeah, I can see where that would happen. I got lost also.
Okay.
Well, I kind of thought, my opinion was that I think that American movies, to be honest, are just simple. You blow things up, you shoot people, you have sex, and you have a movie. And I think it appeals to just the more base emotions of people anywhere.
I think that there may be an element of truth to that as well.
I think you should move to Hollywood, Robert. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Let's get another caller in, and this is Michelle from Elkhart, Indiana.
Hello.
Michelle, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd just like to say I really appreciate you bringing light to this topic. I live in a part of the country where foreign films are not greatly appreciated, and we don't have them here at our theaters in Elkhart. I am greatly appreciative of the small art houses. We have a theater in Three Oaks, Michigan that I go to frequently. And, you know, this is a young couple that bought this theater, and they dedicate themselves to bringing this type of film to our area, and I really appreciate that. Also,
What's the distance between Elkhart, Indiana, and that theater in Michigan?
About 45 miles. Hmm. And as well, I live about 2 hours from Chicago, And often I will take weekends where I go into Chicago, and I call them my movie marathon weekends, and I get a copy of the Chicago Reader and make my picks, and I feel very fortunate that, you know, I'm only 2 hours from Chicago.
The distribution system that I assume in Elkhart you do have access to all of the Hollywood latest pictures.
Right, we have the major blockbusters here, the ones that are the big box office appeal.
Yeah. Why is it, Anthony Kaufman, that there, you know, there is no distribution of smaller films to places like Elkhart?
Yeah, well, it's contrary to popular opinion, it actually is getting better. Although it still is difficult, of course, but there are these little art house theaters that are popping up around the country, and a lot of the big chains are actually devoting screens specifically to foreign language and art house.
Wasn't that supposed to be one of the advertised benefits when, you know, the Octoplex or the Dodecaplex moved into town, that, well, we'll have some room for the smaller pictures as well, and it turns out they just show The Matrix on 4 screens.
Yeah, or on all 12.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the case on that big opening weekend, but oftentimes there are cracks, little, you know, niches to be found, and those companies that release those films find them. And there are some theaters that are, you know, Landmark, it's a big theater chain that is just art house films, and they really are opening up more and more theaters dedicated just to art house.
Michelle, let me ask you, do you find any difference if a foreign film is in English as opposed to whether it's subtitled as to whether it might actually play in your town?
Wow, I don't know if there's ever been a subtitled film in Elkhart. I can't.
Did, for instance, Whale Rider come there?
Did Whale Rider play?
Not in Elkhart, no.
Yeah.
That's a long way from the ocean, you know.
That's true. We are fairly close to South Bend, and there is a theater in South Bend, and like you said, the big multiplex where they devote a couple screens to foreign or art house films. Usually, it's so far past the release date, or they don't stay here very long. For example, In America played for 2 weeks, and The Cooler played for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to watch for things, and you have to know what you're looking for, and you have to get over there as soon as you see it advertised, or you'll miss it.
Yeah, it'll close in a New York minute. We've been talking about the film Whale Rider. We have a clip from it. The young heroine's grandfather here explains the mythology of her tribe to her using a frayed rope as a metaphor.
What do you see?
Lots of little bits of rope, all twisted together.
That's right. Whiria ngā taura here tangata o Paikia, kia pakari ai te iwi. Weave together the threads of Paikia, so that our line remains strong. Each one of those threads is one of your ancestors, all joined together and strong, all the way back to that whale of yours.
A clip from the movie Whale Rider, and Anthony Kaufman, that this has had extraordinary penetration for a foreign film.
Yes, it has, and I think there's a few reasons that we can say that. One is, it is English language primarily, although that clip shows some of the Maori language. But also you do have this young girl who's such a force, and the fact that, you know, she is a young girl, someone who, a character that I think we see in a lot of foreign films that you know, break out and do great business is, the kid movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they really tend to get a lot of people, you know, into the that.
Among the tropes familiar to American audiences is a coming-of-age picture like Whale Rider is. We're talking about foreign films in America, what makes it here and why. If a foreign accent is something you seek in cinema, why? And what have you enjoyed lately? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, or you can send us email, totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're preparing for the Oscars with a discussion of the foreign film industry today. If you've discovered any jewels out there, Tell us what it was and where you went to find it. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Anthony Kaufman, a film writer for The Village Voice, Variety, and Time Out New York, and also for IndieWire.com. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Scott. Scott's with us from Redwood, Minnesota.
Yes. I was just going to comment that sometimes when I watch foreign film, it can get frustrating trying to read the subtitles and watch the action, and it's a lot easier for me when the voices are just dubbed over.
Boy, Anthony Kaufman, he's hit on the big controversy over foreign films, hasn't he?
Yes, you said a dirty word. dubbing is not something that us who love foreign films want to happen here. I mean, primarily because the actors who are dubbed, and this still does happen in other countries, they're never matching the complexity of the characters that they're supposed to be speaking. So I would not advocate for dubbing. What I would advocate for is standing a little bit farther back in the theater so you can take in the screen and the subtitles at the same time.
We have
this is in my my living room, so I'm a little bit limited.
we have an email on this question. One of the things I hate about foreign films here and in other countries is dubbing. It ruins them. It takes away the music of the language it was filmed in and all the emotional delivery of the actor. A funny moment in French theater in the 60s was seeing a stupid old Western with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra, where one of them raised his hand in greeting to an Indian and said, "Comment ça va?" at the same time and said, "How?"
Yeah, I wouldn't advocate it for here, even though we don't know the voices of the foreign actors as well. It still is really jarring and disconnecting. So as much as you find it hard to read the subtitles, I think it might be just as strange to hear English coming out of people who were primarily not English.
Anyway, Scott, did you enjoy the movie?
I have no idea what the movie was. It was on the Independent Film Channel, and I caught it right in the middle, and I actually wasn't able to watch the end either. But
I see a lot of pictures that way. I'm still waiting, the first third of that one and the last third of this one.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to find out what the movie was and maybe try and catch the rest of it later.
And I don't want to give it away, Scott, but the good guys win. No, it's a foreign picture. Maybe they lose. Thanks for the call, Scott.
Thank you.
Let's go with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is with us from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Okay.
I've got a couple of really quick comments. Number one, I remember the old French comedies, the Monsieur Perrault comedies, that I used to see on public broadcasting on Saturday nights, and those were dubbed in English, and it would have lost something if it had been... if you didn't hear the French.
Yeah, I assume you had something bigger than a 13-inch screen, though.
Yeah. But what I really wanted to talk about was Das Boot.
The Great Submarine Picture.
Yes. I saw that first in the original German, and there were the words running along the bottom of the screen, and it was wonderful. And now the only time I can get it at the video store is the English version, and it loses something.
That foreign language version was a huge hit, too, and it won several nominations for the Oscars.
It was a wonderful movie, and you were just talking a minute ago about how when you dub it, it loses the actor's emphasis, and that, I think, is a perfect movie to describe that. It loses something in English.
I hate to be commercial about it, but Anthony Kaufman, has anybody done a study to figure out which version made more money in the U.S., the dubbed version or the subtitled one?
I don't think it would be that hard to find out, but I don't know. I know that there was the re-release in the English version, but I can't tell you.
One more email on this question from Mike Smith in Fayetteville, New York. Why, oh why, are subtitles still white? Nothing like trying to read white on white as we did last week when we rented a French movie, La Séparation. You have a scene in white and there's subtitles in white. You can't figure it out.
That must have been an old subtitle, because usually they now have little outlines, I think, on on many of the subtitles when it goes over that. So unfortunately, that must have been a bad copy.
Let's get another caller in. This is Nigel, who's with us from Sicily in Italy.
Hello.
Hello. Now, where you see films, American films or the foreign films?
I'm actually Australian, but I've been in Italy for 4 years, and my Italian's not particularly brilliant. But one of the things that I've noticed here about the movies on the television, I don't go to the cinema very often because I spend a lot of time out in the country, but the ones on the television, they are dubbed into Italian. And they have an expert industry here at imitating the voices of the original actors to a degree that it's quite spooky. The lip sync's horrible,
mm-hmm.
but the actual message that comes across on these movies is probably why the Hollywood movies, and the fact that the Italians are very much American conscious, but the fact that they can dub them so well is probably why they're able to sell so many movies from the United States into Italy.
Hmm. Are foreign dubbers, Anthony Kaufman, better than ours? Is there a dubbing gap?
My experience with dubbed films is Australian, which is the subtitling in Australia seems to be rather good compared with that which I've seen from Britain.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen much in the way of foreign films dubbed from the States. But the voiceovers here are particularly good.
So it sounds like Mel Gibson or Meg Ryan or whoever.
Sorry?
It sounds like Mel Gibson or Meg Ryan or whoever.
No, the generally speaking, I mean, Anthony Hopkins, for example, has got a voice which is very hard to copy. They do it quite well.
How do you say Chianti and lima beans in Italian? Anyway, thanks for the...
We're breaking up here a bit. I'm a long way from the transmitter. That's the comment anyway.
Thanks for the call, Nigel.
Okay, no worries.
One of the places Americans can get a taste of what the world have to offer by the way of movies is at the local film festival, if they're near enough to get to one. Joining us now is the programmer of the Austin Film Festival, Phil Scanlon. He's with us from his home in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
When you go about selecting the few foreign films you can bring to a place like Austin, what do you look for?
I'm looking for films that, you know, bring a particular cultural flavor to issues that in American films or industry films, for lack of a better word, already covered. And a good example of that is the Barbarian Invasions.
Mm-hmm.
From our neighbors up north, and it's a fascinating film with dynamic characters who are intelligent and human and fascinating. And they offer us a different perspective on the world, and it's really one of my goals to find films that offer a reflection of America from a different perspective, and especially in these times, it becomes more and more important for me.
How many films can you take to the Austin Film Festival, and what was this year's selection?
Barbarian Invasions was one that we screened. We get a number of submissions to our festival from foreign filmmakers in our competition. We've had a number of shorts do very well because the Austin Film Festival is one of the festivals... sanctioned by the Academy. So many of them have gone on to get Oscar nominations in the short film category.
Mm-hmm.
So we do get a lot of submissions from Germany was one example, and we're getting more and more films.
And do you give out a prize or something?
We have the Audience Award winner. We have juried awards. Yeah, we do.
Now, you mentioned the Barbarian Invasions. This is a picture that got theatrical distribution. Do you pick a film or rule out a film on that basis? If Miramax is going to distribute it, we'll get something else?
No. Actually, I focus on films with distribution because foreign films especially need good advanced word-of-mouth screenings in order to participate or compete in an already crowded theatrical market.
Now, is there a distinction in terms of how many people go to see it as to whether the film is in English or not, no matter where it was made?
Unfortunately, that is a hindrance to most people. It's the one thing that can really prevent a great film from getting more attention, and that is subtitles, foreign language. not so much foreign films, but it's the language barrier, once again, that keeps people from buying a theater ticket.
In a place like Austin, Texas, I would assume that for a substantial fraction of your audience, Spanish is not a foreign language. Do you skew in that direction?
We were actually, there were some great Spanish language films that I saw at Sundance this year, and I'm really hoping I get a chance to introduce them to our Spanish-speaking audience in Austin.
And can you give us when is the Austin Film Festival held?
It's in October.
So we're a long way away from the next one.
Oh, yeah, but I work throughout the year looking for films, attending other film festivals, and identifying all kinds of films, including foreign films.
It sounds like there are more onerous lines of work.
Absolutely. And there is a genuine curiosity for foreign films with the movie going public. And the film festivals give people the opportunity to find films that have already been researched and programmed. You know, so a foreign film at a film festival does help many foreign films that normally wouldn't stand a chance on the market.
Well, thanks very much, and good luck with the festival.
Thank you.
Phil Scanlon is the film programmer for the Austin Film Festival, and he joined us from his home in Los Angeles, California. And Anthony Kaufman, are festivals like his a good way for, I would think a town like Austin would have a pretty good selection of foreign films anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what he was saying was exactly right. The festivals are a nice launch pad for a lot of these films. Sometimes if the films do very well at the festivals, the distributors will zero in on these areas and say, we're going to launch the film here. You know, regional festivals all over the country, from Sarasota to Austin to, larger cities, Seattle,
mm-hmm.
Chicago, San Francisco. A lot of the distributors intentionally plant their films before releases, in fact.
To build the audience, in
a word. Yeah, start word of mouth.
Yeah, okay. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Terry from Suttons Bay, Michigan.
Hello.
Hi.
And hello, Neil and Anthony. I have a question for Anthony with regards to The Russian Ark, his best film I've seen in a long time, as to its progress through any award ceremony, if it was nominated and where it went.
Well, it's a tremendous underdog success. This is a Russian film by a director named Alexander Sukharov, very art house director. His films do not play in the multiplex, even those screens devoted to art house theater. So it's great that you found the movie. It's played, it launched at the Cannes Film Festival, I believe, last year, or 2 years ago, I think. And it's been playing around in theaters and has made a very good deal of money for such a challenging film. It's an interesting film. It's one continuous take through the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg.
Terry, where did you find it?
There is a little library north of my small town, the Northport Library, and they have a collection of films. And occasionally for a dollar you get very lucky. This is The Ghost of Proust walking through the Hermitage, and it's got everything you want. it's a great movie.
It sounds like you got a good librarian there, too.
A good librarian, yes.
Terry, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We're discussing foreign language films. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Kelly's with us from Minneapolis.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Kelly.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to comment on how much I loathe American remakes of foreign films. I've seen several that have just really destroyed the original versions. And one of my all-time favorite movies is La Femme Nikita, the French film.
Sure.
And I think a Bridget Fonda filmed in an American remake. I don't remember what it was called. Something like Point...
Point of No Return, I think.
Point of No Return, yeah. And they just really dumbed it down, and they really destroyed it. It was just horrible. I couldn't even sit through the movie. And that was my comment. I also, another one of my all-time favorite foreign films is Like Water for Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, well, I'd like to comment about those remakes.
Yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
While in fact, you know, they're usually inferior versions of the movies, they do raise the profile of the originals, which is a nice thing for those original movies. A movie like La Femme Nikita or something like Open Your Eyes, which was remade into Vanilla Sky, those movies will get a little boost in the market. People will go, you know, it'll say remade into and in the video store and things like that, and people will get a hold of them more readily, which is actually a nice byproduct of the horrible remakes.
And now, of course, Hollywood is engaged in remaking even American products, so I don't understand how they're now going to go out and ruin Starsky and Hutch. You know, it's just terrible. Let's go to Annette. And Annette's with us from Mountain View, California.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay. I will bring in as a general comment that looking to all these American films, which are sometimes very, very beautiful, but I'm from Holland, from the Netherlands, and I live here now for 2 years. And I think, in general, bringing more foreign films to the United States will get a much more understanding for the rest of the world, because you see so much about all those different cultures. And I think, yeah, really bringing the rest of the world more to the United States is bringing more of those movies in, because hearing after 9/11, saying how could it happen to the United States that this came over us, I think if there is a little bit more awareness of how other people think and how they want to be recognized by the rest of the world, it would be so helpful by this beautiful media of the film.
Anthony Kaufman, Annette raises a good point. Film was designed or created as the universal language. Its language, though, for much of the last century has been American.
Yeah, that's true. I do think that there are people, maybe small pockets, but growing pockets, who do believe this and who are gravitating more and more to work that reveals the you know, the plights of peoples in other countries. There's a festival, a traveling festival, called the Human Rights Watch International Film Festival, and they have seen a huge increase in their movies, which I think is says something about where audience sympathies are lying, hopefully.
Can you, we just have a few seconds left, if there's something coming out in the next few weeks or months, can you give us a tip?
Well, gee, there's a lot coming out. Something, Osama, which I guess is out in a few places. There's a film from Norway, which is quite nice, called Kitchen Stories. And then a big box office hit from Germany called Goodbye Lenin. Is also about to hit screens, I believe.
Anthony Kaufman, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Anthony Kaufman, a film journalist for Variety and The Village Voice. He also writes the World Cinema column for IndieWire.com. He was with us today from Chicago.